Welcome to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Each year since 2010, the University of Washington Population Health Institute, with support from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, has released the County Health Rankings. The 2019 rankings just came out. They're modeled after America's health rankings, and those have been around for about 20 years now. These county health rankings measure vital health outcomes and the factors that contribute to health, recognizing health is more than just health care. Joining me today to break down some of the county health rankings and what they mean for East Tennessee is Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Brandon.
Well, I mentioned something in my introduction there, that these rankings seem to emphasize the idea that health goes beyond health care. What does that mean?
Well, I think that's a great question and a great starting point because most people equate health with health care, but this is a very limited view. One way to answer the question is to look at the model that the county health rankings is based upon and see how they come up with the rankings. The model defines at the broadest level how long we live and the quality of our life. Those are considered outcome measures. Clinical care, or what we would call health care in layman's terms, includes access to health care and the quality of health care, and that comprises just 20% of your overall health. Something that people think is the big enchilada is actually a very small part.
Means that 80% of what we think of as our health and well-being comes from somewhere else.
Exactly. So let's look at where that somewhere else is. When we look at social and economic factors, they're the biggest group of factors. They comprise 40%. So what's in this group? Education, employment, income, family and social support, and community safety. So it's a really big part, and it contributes 40%. Next most important, at 30%, are health behaviors. And health behaviors are things like whether or not you use tobacco products, the amount of exercise you get, the quality and quantity of your diet, and then alcohol and drug use. Also, sexual activity plays in there because of some risky behaviors. So 30% for health behaviors, 40% for social and economic factors. We've already said 20 for health care.
That leaves us with 10%, if my math is right.
Brandon, your math is good. And that 10% has to do with the physical environment where we live, work, and play. So this includes things like air and water quality, housing, which is really getting a lot of attention in this year's report, and then transportation.
So we know this is how the county health rankings are broken down. All of these factors that you've just talked about get crunched down into a ranking that tells us, in kind of a glance, how a county may fare, how the people in that county may be doing in terms of health and well-being. How is East Tennessee doing?
We actually get two rankings, one for outcomes and one for the factors. Let's put it in context first, Brandon. You mentioned America's health rankings in your introduction. In the most recent America's health rankings, Tennessee gets a score of 42nd. Now, just to be clear, that's not good.
This is something that state leaders, regardless of party, have talked about really for the last several years, going back into Governor Haslam's administration well, that typically Tennessee ranks poorly on national health rankings. So this is what we're seeing here, too.
Absolutely. Same message. Let's start to look at how Tennessee counties fare. Self-reported poor or fair health. I ask you, overall, Brandon, how would you rank your health? And you respond, our most healthy counties, 12% of the people report poor or fair health. If we look at our least healthy county, that number is 26%, more than a twofold difference. There's also great variation when we look at premature death differences across racial and ethnic groups. We've talked about this before. These are those vexing health disparities. So American Indians, Alaska Natives, Asian people, and Pacific Islanders have a premature death rate of 3,600 per 100,000. Remember the 3,600. If we look at Hispanics, that number is 4,300. For whites, 9,000. And then here's the number I want you to compare to that 3,600 For blacks, it's 11,500. So a wide range, quite a disparate picture that we're seeing across those ethnic groups.
Well, let's talk about the counties now. We mentioned this a little earlier. As we get to East Tennessee itself, what does the variation look like among East Tennessee counties? Now, we're getting away from racial and ethnic breakdowns and more geographic breakdowns.
Right. And what, let's look at this by looking at what we call quartiles. Top 25%, next 25%, next, and then bottom. In the top quartile in East Tennessee, we have Blount County, Jefferson County, Knox County, and Loudoun. When we look at the next level, second best, we have Anderson, Hamblin, and Sevier. When we get down to third position, we have Granger, Greene, and Roane County. And when we look at the lowest quartile, we have Campbell County, Cook County, Morgan County, and Union County. Do you see a pattern there, Brandon?
It could be urban areas. Some of the more highly developed, economically developed counties seem to have better health rankings. We also might see a connection to income or education level in some of the more rural counties where there's less of that. So that would be my first kind of impression there when you named the top and the bottom counties. The top tier are generally more urbanized, more highly educated, higher income counties, and the bottom quartile are not.
Bingo. And that's one of the things I told you earlier, that in this year's county health rankings, they're looking at housing, but they're also looking at the problems that plague rural counties. And we see that here in East Tennessee with our most rural counties.
Well, let's talk about how the counties in those non-top quartiles, how do they improve? What steps can be taken to move them up the ladder?
Well, moving up in the rankings requires addressing the factors which contribute to health. Those things we talked about initially. In large regards, this involves looking at social and economic opportunities. Said another way, to improve health, we must improve the social determinants of health, which we've talked about previously.
That's exactly right. We have mentioned how there are these various factors that feed into the overall concept of health and well-being. Can you say more about these social and economic opportunities that you think might move the needle on health in those lower-ranking counties?
Well, and this is based on pretty good empirical evidence. So the things that work to improve social and economic opportunities are access to good schools, stable jobs, I would add well-paying jobs, and strong social networks. These are all key drivers of health. Goes back to our first point. It's not healthcare that's the key driver. It's these things we've just discussed.
It's the other 80% that we talked about earlier in this conversation.
So it follows on, Brandon, to improve health, we need to improve social and economic factors. Here's another way to say it. Economic policy is health policy, and countries we know with better health outcomes have higher social spending than we do in the United States. So when we look at a ranking of how much is spent directly on healthcare and how much is spent on those things that improve social and economic factors, our country spends a very small portion on improving social and economic factors.
Another way to phrase this is we're pouring a lot of money into the 20% that is direct medical care and not so much into the other 80% that you and I have talked about.
Perfect. And we're not getting much for that money we, to use your words, pour into that 20%.
Could you be more specific about some of the strategies that could be employed to improve health in these areas?
Well, if I had an hour, we could talk about a lot of things, but what I'd like to do is maybe focus on one of those factors to paint the picture for our listeners about what we need to do as counties and a state and as a country. Let's just look at one sector, a very important sector, education. So here are strategies that have proven to be effective. They've yielded results. They've moved the needle on health outcomes. Preschool education, universal pre-K, full-day kindergarten, school breakfasts, school-based health centers, nurses, school-based social and emotional instruction, recognizing the stress that many of our children are under. Anti-bullying policies, a concept called trauma-informed schools, which is to deal with children that come with a lot of trauma from adverse childhood events. Increased high school graduation, I'm glad to say we're putting a lot of focus on this in Tennessee. And then college access, which is another area where we shine. But these things are all not just education policy, their health policy.
I imagine we could do individual episodes of Health Connections about all of the factors that you just talked about. This is a good starting point, though, with our county health rankings here in Tennessee. We have a link to this at our website, WUOT.org, so you can check out the county health rankings for yourself. And Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing, thanks for speaking with me today.
My pleasure. Thank you.